this morning we'll turn to Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 4 through 9, strangers. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, now listen, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers. Uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but you set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. Strangers in the midst. The unclean thing, listen, deals with people. You've heard me say many times that sin is almost, it's not an abstract. It is always committed by a person. Whiskey's not a sin. Cocaine's not a sin. Fornication requires people, okay? It's just a word until somebody acts. The unclean thing deals with people. Wood doesn't carve itself into an idol. Statues don't appear because of water erosion. Someone carves or chisels an idol, or they form it with you. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it didn't take a bite of itself. James. How did fig leaves become aprons? Man. We were speaking a while ago, the Tower of Babel. All that men imagine. Look around. Who made the coats of skins? God did, you see. And thus I ask, who brought the strangers into the sanctuary? And he talked about that. He said, the uncircumcised in heart. That means you have to have some knowledge. We spoke of this before. Those that are uncircumcised in heart, the unconverted. You remember the unwelcome wedding guest, and he was cast in the outer darkness. You see, they hadn't simply bid him come, they gathered him, and they brought them in, you see. And the results of modern evangelism, that's exactly what they do. And the results have been catastrophic. The churches are full of sinners with a false hope of salvation. James, we're in church, boy. You know, in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 17, he said, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. That's what they were preaching. Doesn't that sound like the modern preachers of the day? Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And that's what they preach. That's the love God doctrine. They're told they're saved while they're yet in their sin. but salvation is of the Lord. Always has been, always will be. We know from Scripture we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Period. No other way. Holy, the Bible says holy and without blame before Him and love. And this is not simply how the world uses that word from propitiation. Okay? Not simply a propitiation. In other words, just declaring. That's what they do in gender today. I identify that I'm a man or a woman. Ridiculous. Well, they've been doing that in church for years and years. I identify as a Christian. That's not going to hold much weight on Judgment Day, you see. In other words, Christ is righteous, but we are not. You know, 1 John 3:7 says, He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He, Christ, is righteous. Even as He, also righteous. Our countries are now being invaded without anyone firing a shot. Strangers. Strangers. As we spoke a while ago, the people is one. And in essence, it's no different than what has occurred in our churches since about the middle of the 19th century. I'm reading a book now from a man from the 1600s, and it's difficult because he speaks in the essence of there really wasn't a true atheist. That even though they proclaimed this, they really did believe. But he hadn't met Sigmund Freud, and he hadn't met Karl Marx, and he hadn't met Lenin, you see. They didn't have, per se, communism and the many things that we now have that started pretty much in the 19th century. Modern evangelism, 19th century. Professions of faith, 19th century, you see. The Great Commission, they called it. Letting strangers in the sanctuary. God said, Friend, how camest thou in without a wedding garment? A fig leaf sown by a man instead of a coat of skins. They've quit preaching the atonement, the true atonement, the atonement of Christ's blood. They've quit preaching it. And it's the only true wedding garment, you see. That which is wrought of God and not man. Charles Finney, I consider him the father of decisional regeneration. And to quote him, he said, Religion is the work of man. And you know what? Religion is the work of man. Theology is the work of God. And every modern church that I have ever been associated with, preach that right there. But you see, true religion is the work of God. Now, I like this quote. Charles Hodge said, There is not a more soul-destroying doctrine than sinners being able to regenerate themselves by repenting and believing when they please. How many times have we seen that? Went to the revivals, y'all remember? They're doing it right now. They're playing somewhere right now on a Sunday morning between 11 and 12 o'clock. They're playing Just As I Am with every eye closed and every head bowed. You want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? Gee, I think I'll go to heaven. How do I get there? Just ask Jesus in your heart. What happened to you this morning, darling? I asked Jesus in my heart. Isn't that wonderful? She's saved. Where is she now? Oh, we can't find her. She's off in sin. She's living with some boy. You see, making babies out of wedding. You compare that with John 3:8. When Nicodemus asked, and Jesus said, The wind blows where it listed. You see, that doesn't sound like an altar call or a great commission to me. Spurgeon, prince of preachers to the Baptist, never gave an altar call. So you note how Christ himself dealt with Nicodemus versus modern evangelism or the modern Baptist as such. We know exactly what the modern believer would have done. Nicodemus would have been teaching Sunday school within a month. No doubt about it. Our text says, you have set keepers for yourselves. Hirelings, you see. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. James, we're having church, boy. Someday you'll get to hear this recording. I won't be here if they can play it for your kids. And shall be turned into fables. And that's exactly why we're here this morning. That's why we're here. Go out there and find one. I'm not saying they're not out there. I'm telling you to go find one preaching the truth. I mean, on Sunday mornings, I surf around and I look at YouTube and I said, man, you know, I'd like to hear a little preaching. How does that always turn out? Isn't there one? Can I find one? MacArthur and Washer, they preach, we spoke of this many times, symbolic blood atonement. They do. Symbolic blood atonement. And that man is saved by not the blood, but the death of Christ. No, sir. There be but one atonement, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's own blood. And if you're not washed in it, you're going straight to hell. I mean, I don't know how any much plainer and simpler than I can put. Mary wasn't a symbolic virgin. Through the delivery of Christ, she was a virgin. A real virgin. And I stake everything I consider holy on that one tenet, the shed blood of Christ for the remission of sin. Not a symbolic remission. If I've got a symbolic blood, I've got a symbolic remission. Oh, they're not really good. God just considers them good. What? As Brother James would say, what are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? Galatians 2:20. Crucified with Christ. Well, are you? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Well, does he? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man in Christ is a new creature. Well, are you? 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. These things are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. And we spoke of John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. But we've allowed untempered martyr. We've allowed cisterns that won't hold water. And we've built upon the sinking sand. The stranger and unclean, not only in the sanctuary, but the pulpit. No conversion experience. Other than, oh, I made my profession when I was 12 in front of wherever. And the so-called Great Commission has bred a universalism. If you know what universalism is. And it's almost in every church. You ever consider that it seems to be only white people of European descent that practice the so-called Great Commission? So Jesus told the white guys, by the way, the gospel was preached to the entire world many, many years ago, and it's certainly not intended for the stranger. You know what the fastest growing religion on the planet is? Anybody know?
Buddhism or Hinduism?
Islam. Oh, Islam. And the great cry is, I read about it, that we're losing the race. We must get them first. You think about that if God's sovereign. Oh, if we can only get to him first. But you see, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He said, now hear it. He said, but ye believe not. Why? Because you're not my sheep. He said, I speak in parables because it's not given for them to know. But don't tell that to the whites of European descent who are all about getting the world so-called converted. You'll ruin their Great Commission. You know, we've been watching a film about the Spanish Inquisition. And the Spanish Inquisition, it went on for over 350 years. And it was all about the conversion of Jews and Muslims. And you go to a Jew or a Muslim and you either convert or you die. They had more conversions than death. You convert or you die. Now you think that's true conversion? No. Well, that's what modern evangelism does, you see. And so we take these European white guys and we send them to third world countries. Now who's invading our country? They're coming here, you see. But they're not coming here to preach to us. So we're seeing these things now before our very eyes. I saw it when I was a boy, when certain people, when they move to the cities, we had flight to the suburbs. And when they moved to the suburbs, you had flight to the further and further out and further, and it just keeps carrying. And today you can't find a church that's not full of strangers. God said in our image. God said after his kind. God said for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to what image? The image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary. Why? To pollute it, even my house. You know, we'll allow things and do things in the church of God that we won't allow in our own homes. You think about that. Strangers in the midst. Are you a stranger? Remember the song we used to sing? Are you a stranger to God? You remember? Are you a stranger to God? Strangers. Preached for many, many years, the church is not for strangers. It's for the redeemed. If you preach truth, if you preach the gospel, it's for the redeemed, the blood-washed throng. There's nothing here for a lost man, but that he gets saved, and that God draw him, John 6:44, Jesus said, no man come to me except my Father in heaven draw him. Was I a stranger? Yeah, I was. Did I get saved in church? No, I didn't. You see, strangers.